Okay, I've been talking about beginning this new class, you know, for a couple of weeks, and like I said, maybe scared some people off, you know, I don't know, but we're going to be beginning this morning a focus on getting to know God, the Father, Jesus, His Son, and the Holy Spirit through the Old Testament. We're going to go back and try to look at, you know, what does the Old Testament say about Jesus and God and the Spirit and so forth, and what can we learn from that? It's really kind of a focus on getting back into the Old Testament studies. And this morning in our introductory material, we're going to be talking about getting to know Jesus all over again. And so what I'm going to try to do here this morning is just kind of lay out some foundational thoughts and ideas for what we want to be focusing on in this study as we go. So let me begin by asking this question. What does the world know about Jesus? Okay? What does the world know about Jesus? Jesus asked that question of his disciples. Think about it. Okay, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13, he said, who do people say the Son of Man is? Okay. So we have to understand that when he asked that question, he asked it for their benefit, not his. So I ask you this morning, what does the world know about Jesus? Any thoughts on that?
Born on Christmas Day.
Okay. He was born on Christmas Day, December 25th. All right. What else does the world know about it? He rose again on Easter Sunday, right? Okay. All right. What else does the world know about Jesus? Okay. Some of them know that he's the Son of God. Some of them believe he's a prophet. He's just a great prophet. Great teacher. Okay, all right. Even those who don't have anything to do with him any other time, okay, when they find themselves, as we were talking about, you know, in an earlier study, talking about the fact that there are no atheists in foxholes, right? Those who believe that... or don't believe in God, but suddenly they find themselves in the midst of a war in a foxhole, all of a sudden who do they start calling? It's not Ghostbusters. You know, they start calling upon God, right? Okay. What else does the world know about Jesus? And let's just broaden it. What do they know about God? What does the world know? Okay. All right. All right. They know that it's a name to use in cursing and swearing, okay? The idea here is that there are a lot of ideas that the world has about Jesus and about God and who he is and what he does. In fact, there have been lots and lots of books written about Jesus, probably more books about him than any other person in history. You go to a bookstore, and it doesn't even have to be a religious bookstore. Go to any bookstore and just look in the religion section, and you will find dozens and dozens and dozens of books written just about Jesus. Okay? There have been, you know, who knows, countless magazine articles written about Jesus, in addition to the number of books that have been written. There have been documentaries on TV about Jesus in some kind of aspect, and about God and so forth. And those magazines, those books, the documentaries, all of the things that have been put out there have been done from perhaps every perspective imaginable. Okay? There are certainly a lot of materials that are out there that have been printed and put together by people who are non-believers, in other words. Okay? Folks that don't believe in God, don't believe in Jesus, and so they've written why they don't believe. And written from a perspective of saying, don't believe, and here's why you shouldn't either, and all of those kinds of perspectives. So there's a lot of material by folks like that. There are, of course, a lot of the material that's out there has been put out there by people who do believe. Okay? And their perspective is what? This is why I believe, and this is why you should believe. Okay? So we have both of those extremes, so to speak. Then there are those folks who have put out a lot of material that would fall into the category of skeptics, and even of curiosity seekers. In other words, this would be the group of folks who, they're just not sure. I don't know what I believe about Jesus. I don't know what I believe about God. I've heard a lot of things from these folks. I've heard a lot of things from these folks. I'm not really sure. A lot of good reasons to believe in him. There's a lot of good reasons not to believe in him. I haven't really made up my mind yet. And so they're putting a lot of stuff out there. The folks who are just curious. Jesus, to a lot of people throughout history, has just been nothing a lot more than just something curious to talk about and to write about and to look at and so forth, without any real conviction one way or another as to belief or non-belief. Right? So there's an awful lot that is out there. The problem with a lot that is out there is that much of it is not true or historically based. And I want to focus on, at least for this morning, the emphasis on historical information here. In other words, we want to look at part of the question we want to look at this morning is, what can we really know about Jesus? We're talking about this in a few minutes. What can we know about Jesus historically? Okay, so keep that in mind. But there's a lot of stuff that's out there that is just not true. It's not historically based. People are very naturally interested and curious about Jesus, but what has happened as a result of that curiosity, in a lot of ways, is that people have created or recreated him in their own image, that is, of what they want him to be, instead of who he really, truly is. Okay? Does that make sense? Everybody understand what I mean by that? One theologian, a well-known theologian by the name of Helmut Thielicke, says, quote, "Over and over, the figure of Jesus has been horribly amputated to suit each age's taste." Think about that. As each generation, each age comes along, they're taking what they've been told about Jesus from the previous and then kind of added to or taken away and made him their own, so to speak. Yale historian said the way any particular age has depicted Jesus is often a key to the genius of that age. So again, what some folks are saying here is that what we know and learn about Jesus has a lot to do with, the particular age or time that we are in. Brother Tommy South kind of put together from comments like that his conclusion. He says, in other words, the variety of interpretations of who Jesus is may well tell more about us than about Jesus. Think about that. Okay. So we go back to that question, what does the world know about Jesus? Say, and all this variety of information that people have, and it's very easy to see that a lot of it is just simply coming from what people's own idea interpretation of the particular time is. We look at all the different things that people say and believe about Jesus and who he is. You listen to different conversations, you read different things that people write, and perhaps maybe one question that might come to your mind is, are we really talking about the same person? you know? You know, because, again, some people's Jesus looks this particular way. You know, he's a teacher, he's a scholar, he's a great prophet. And other people's Jesus, he's this fantastic miracle worker. See? And then there's other people's Jesus who is he's just simply a really impressionable historical figure. Did a lot of great things, talked about a lot of great things, but that's really about it. And you know, you start listening and talking about all these different ideas that people have, and you're wondering, you know, it's kind of that idea that you have where, you know, you may know somebody and you encounter somebody else that knows that same person, and you're discussing that person and you're going, oh, wait a minute, are we talking about the same person here? Because each person's impression of that individual is very different. Depends on, you know, what their encounters with that person has been. Okay? Now, that's not too difficult to understand if you go back to the historical setting of the time, for instance, when Jesus lived. Okay, what were some of the different impressions that people had of Jesus? I'm talking about the people that actually encountered Jesus. See? Certainly there were those who believed in him, right? Okay? Certainly there were those who didn't want to have anything to do with him. You see? Wanted to destroy him. See? Because he was upsetting the apple cart in their world. So if you were to have an individual conversation with, you know, a Jew at that particular time who believed in Jesus, who listened to him, saw the miracles, all those kinds of things, what would that conversation most likely be like? What would that person be saying about Jesus? Good things, okay? Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. You know, we talked about that whole aspect of witnessing and so forth. They'd probably be wanting to give you a testimony. Let me tell you about what I saw Jesus do, or you know, what have you. He healed this, you know, this child over here, this girl. He raised her to life, or, you know, whatever he did. And then that. But what about that Pharisee or that Sadducee that wants to get rid of Jesus? What would their conversation sound like?
He's a blasphemer.
Yeah, he's a blasphemer. He's a God-hater. We need to get rid of him. You see? But they're both talking about the exact same person. You see? Which one is more accurate? Are we really talking about the same person? One of the problems that we've had throughout history is that there have been many scholars, many preachers, many biblical scholars who have given people the Jesus that they want to have instead of giving them the real Jesus. Okay? And that shouldn't surprise us any. The Apostle Paul, in writing his letter to Timothy, his second letter, chapter 4, and verse 3, says that the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. And I think that, you know, we can certainly look through the Bible and a lot of the teachings that, you know, the Bible has and see where that has happened to a lot of teachings. There are things that people say, oh, the Bible says this. And, you know, no, it doesn't, you know, and things like that. But specifically about Jesus, we can find that very same thing, you see, about him, that many people have taught a Jesus that other people want to have. This is, and maybe you've even heard people talk about it, this is my Jesus, you see. This is who Jesus is to me. Okay? And that may or may not be an accurate depiction of who Jesus really is. And there are some people who are more interested in teaching to the culture of their day than they are in teaching the truth. So we come back to that that question, you know, in terms of who is Jesus. Now, we talk about what does the world know about Jesus? okay? Have all these different impressions, all these different ideas, and so forth. But here's the next question for you. What do you know about Jesus? Okay? Jesus asked that question of his disciples also. After they answered the first question, "Who do men say that I am?" he turned to his disciples and said, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" Okay? So, asking again for their benefit, not his, you know, we need to address that same question. What do you know about Jesus? Okay, the Bible, he's the Son of God. Do what? He's your personal Savior. Okay, they hung him on a cross. Okay, rose again. He's a king. Okay. He's the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. You know, if you stop and think about it, you know, we have really in the New Testament, which is primarily where we get most of our information about Jesus, we have very limited information. We know, and you know, from historians, from what the Bible says in historians, we know that Jesus was indeed a true living historical figure. Okay? We know from reading the Bible, we know about Jesus' birth, for instance. We know about his baptism. We know about his family. You know, his mother, his father, his brothers and sisters. We know, you know, about all those kinds of things, or at least we have indications that those particular things were taking place. What else do we know about him? Okay, we know about his occupation. Okay, he was a carpenter by trade. What else do you know about Jesus? Okay, all right. We know about his teachings. We know about the miracles that he performed and those kinds of things. We can read through the Bible and we can find about all of that information about him. But here's one of the things about knowing Jesus and who he is. There are a lot of people that, you know, are very sincere religiously. Okay? But their knowledge about Jesus really is more from an emotional perspective than it is from anything else. In other words, you know, when you talk to somebody about Jesus and they may say, "Well, yeah, you know, Jesus really warms my heart. You know, that's who Jesus is to me." See, or Jesus is the one who gives me peace. You know, when I'm in trouble, you know, I know I can go to Jesus and he'll help me find peace. You see, and that's what they know about Jesus. That's who. That's the Jesus they know, right? Okay. Okay.
That's probably one of my favorite scriptures in the Old Testament.
Okay. All right.
One of them. There are many, but that's one. When you talk about our Savior.
Okay.
That's the one of the things. I think people really need to focus on that a little bit more.
Okay.
I think we sometimes just kind of. And that's one of my favorite scriptures for reading and doing a lot of stuff.
Okay.
I love that.
Okay.
Because it gives us a definition of who he is.
Okay.
How he is to suffer. And, you know, it's just remarkable.
Well, it gives us that Old Testament insight, in, which is, you know, the next one. You were reading my notes, weren't you? You know, the reality is, if you stop and think about it, and that's why I ask this question, what are most people thinking, but more importantly, what do you know about Jesus? where does most of our knowledge about Jesus typically come from? From the Gospels. Okay? Most of it comes from the Gospels. You want to know about Jesus? Where do you turn? Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. That's all you need, right? That's about his life, right? It gives us his birth. It gives us everything in the middle. It gives us his death and his resurrection. You want to find out about Jesus? Go read the Gospels. Okay? You want to know about some of his teachings and you want to know about faith in Jesus and all that, where do you go? Go to all the epistles. See, read the letters. You see, that all talk about, you know, if Christ is in you, this is what you should be doing. You see? But there is so much more than just simply what the New Testament tells us about Jesus in the gospel accounts and then all of those references in the epistles. Now, here's a question for you that we need to really explore. The question is, what can we know about Jesus? Okay? This isn't just what we believe about Jesus. Okay? What can we know about Jesus? Okay? Think about it for just a moment. Okay? There's a lot of difference between what we can know and what we believe. Okay? The Apostle Paul even talks to us about the difference between walking by faith versus walking by sight. One is what we know to be true. The other is what we believe, right? So we have to explore the question, what can we know about Jesus? Okay? Since none of us were around when Jesus walked on the earth, okay, is there anything we can know about him? Or are we left to everything about him to fall into the realm of faith? Okay? Is there any way that we can know about him? And you know, that's an important question because when we think about it, we've studied, you know, when we were studying the writings of John and we're looking in especially in 1 John, you know, that's a word that John emphasizes a lot, doesn't he, in talking about what we know about God. Of course, he's talking primarily, that word there is used, as we've studied before, is used in the term of a relationship, you know, with him. But it still comes to that question, what can we know about him? The reality is we've got to rely on whatever information is available to us, don't we? Okay? We've got to, in a sense, we've got to sift through the mountains of evidence and facts that are out there that are available in order to be able to discern and to know what the truth really is. As we do that, we have to understand there are two primary sources for the facts. Okay? And a lot of it, you know, we've got to be able to sift through it with some kind of reasonable objectivity. The first source that is available to us to give us facts about Jesus and about God have to do with or come from secular historical settings. In other words, it's the history books. Okay? There are plenty, as we said, there's been plenty written about Jesus. There are a lot of historical records, okay, that document the life and the teachings of Jesus. Okay? Anybody have any idea what some of those historical records might be? Okay, Josephus is certainly one of them. Josephus was a Jewish historian from the time period of the time of Christ. Wrote a lot. Josephus was not a believer in Christ. Okay, so that's why we kind of look at Josephus's records as being they're not biblical. They are historical in nature because Josephus did not write from a biblical perspective. He wrote as a Jewish historian. The history of the Jewish people and the facts surrounding that, and you can find a lot of information about Jesus and what was said about him and things that he did from Josephus's work, and not only from him, but there are other historians from the immediate time period. When you go and you look at secular history, for instance, in the Roman history. There are accounts in the history of the Roman Empire from the period of Jesus that you know, mention the things that are talked about that we find collaborated in the gospel accounts. You see, you know, with Pontius Pilate and the trial of Jesus and all of those kinds of records that are historical documents. You see, there's historical evidence that those things actually occurred. And then there is the biblical record. So we have those secular historical things, and then we have the biblical record. Okay, what does the Bible say about God and about Jesus? The biblical record gives us a historical perspective on God and on His activities. You see, from the creation all the way through to today. Okay, we find all kinds of information. And when I say from the Bible, we find up to today, we find collaboration. In other words, in the promises that God has made, and when people today are still living according to what God has said, do we not find immediate evidence that what God has said is true and that God is working and so forth? Does that make sense? And why am I confusing you? Okay. So it does give us that perspective from a historical vantage point, and it also gives us a personal insight into His nature. In other words, who He really is. So when we study the Bible, when we read the biblical accounts of God, we get that kind of insight also. You know, what kind of a God is He? And when we're talking about, you know, what do you know about Him? Somebody said, well, He's love. He's merciful. He's, you know, all of those kinds of ways that we know Him. But then again, we come to the question, what can we know about Him, and how do we really get convinced of the facts? What can we know from history specifically about Jesus? There are, as we look at things of history, some things that we have to understand. We want to get to know something for sure about God and about Jesus. There's a perspective that we have to be aware of. Okay? Let me ask you this way. How many of you know for sure that George Washington was the first president of the United States? Other than Jerry. We like to pick on Jerry. How many of you know for sure that George Washington was the first president of the United States? Anybody? Well, I only have three people. I got two that are like this and one that's kind of, Is that, are you sure, Charlotte? Or, okay, she's got a thumbs up. She's sure, 100%, okay? Ray's 100% sure. The rest of you are skeptics, right? According to the history books, okay? But what does that mean, though, Ray? I mean, you're right, but when we say that, I mean, obviously none of us was alive when George Washington supposedly was the president of the United States, right? So, you know, how do we know for sure that he really was? Okay? Okay? Well, it's the pictures. I love those HD photographs that we have of George Washington as president. Absolutely. The Polaroids are really, you know, they're not. No, but you're right. We got a lot of paintings and everything else, right? Okay, what else?
Well, there's a huge body of written record, probably.
Okay.
Or portraits, paintings, okay.
Okay.
And of other people that claim to have known him, dealt with him, you know, and those writings survive, or copies of them do.
Okay.
And you take the totality of the evidence and you have to decide, well, you know, are all these folks, you know, running a huge scam,
okay,
or are they telling the truth?
Okay. So why didn't you raise your hand when I asked you if you believe if you know that George Washington was president?
I know there's a dead coon somewhere.
Okay.
Genealogy also.
Okay.
He has ancestors that were related to him.
Okay.
Passed down
for
years.
All right. Okay. Wes?
I think the most thing we can rely on is the fact that the same thing has been handed down from generation to generation. That's supposed to be our proof.
Okay.
This is what was told from supposedly people that were there, the people after them, and so on and so on. And that's basically what we rely on as the concrete proof, along with what was written and the paintings and pictures and everything that could go along with it.
Okay. All right. So we have all of this evidence that's out there. And one of the things that we have to look at in considering all that evidence is how reliable is that evidence, right? I mean, how trustworthy is it? Okay? Even though there are skeptics, and that's, you know, 3/4 of the people in this room, apparently, you know, who would not raise their hand indicating they know that George Washington was president, we have all this evidence that's out there. And this piece of evidence backs up this piece, and this piece backs up this piece. It's just, you know, this overwhelming amount of evidence that shows us and tells us that any reasonable person would look at it and go, hey, yeah, George Washington was the president of the United States. He was the first president of the United States. But then you look at situations like that, and here's, let me just kind of throw this, go ahead.
Oh, well, I don't know. When we do look at the genealogy,
okay,
in scripture, now that was way back, way before George Washington.
Okay,
and I have to rely on that history.
Okay,
and in scripture, and the Christ's genealogy can go all the way back to Adam.
All right,
it's a remarkable thing, and that God allows it not only in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament, where it talks about the genealogy of certain individuals, that is so very important.
Right.
And that's why I don't have a problem with people going to family reunions when you know where you came from.
Right. Okay. It's vitally important. In fact, when we get into the meat of our studies, we're beginning that's exactly where we're going to start. Okay. But here's one of the things that we have to consider, and we have to look at in all this as we're trying to focus on, you know, what can we really know from history? How many of you, because some of you weren't around then, I wasn't around then, how many of you believe that the Holocaust actually occurred? Okay. Why do you believe that? Okay. I know you weren't alive when that occurred.
Well, I had a friend's grandson who was actually
okay.
Parents
okay. All right. So that's evidence, isn't it? Okay. All right. We actually do have videotape, pictures. In fact, General Eisenhower, I understand, I wasn't here when that happened, you know, but I understand from the historical records that General Eisenhower made an order to the troops there that were, you know, involved in that whole, you know, clearing of that, to document everything. And the reason that he gave that order, he said, was because in the future there will be people that will not believe that this actually occurred. See? So he wanted everything to be documented. Okay? Now, do we have some people today who don't believe that the Holocaust actually occurred? Absolutely. We got the president of the country of Iran that keeps, you know, but the point of this is the word objectivity. Okay? When we're looking at things from history, we have to look at it from a perspective of objective reality. In other words, that basically says that there are some things that are universally true and knowable. Okay? There are some things that are universally true and knowable. And there are three characteristics of objective reality that I want you to be aware of. We've got a few more minutes here. Let me run through this. Because this is kind of all setting up where we're going with this study. I know some of this stuff may not be, you know, tremendously interesting to you, but it's really kind of intention to kind of set a platform for where we're going to be going in our study. First of all, the first characteristic is truth. Truth itself, or reality. And truth is what it is regardless of an individual's perception of it. Okay? In other words, what is true whether we accept it or not. Okay? So whether or not, you know, Minadama Jab or whatever his name is believes the Holocaust actually occurred is irrelevant. You see? It doesn't matter whether he believes that it occurred or not. You see? If something is true, whether people believe it or not does not make it untrue. All right? Everybody with me on that? Okay. The second characteristic is that reality is supported by evidence. And that's what we've been talking about. You see? When we're looking for truth, right, truth is not accepted blindly. God, in fact, does not expect us to walk and to believe blindly. Okay? Though we mentioned earlier, you know, we walk by faith, not by sight, but that is not blind faith that we walk by. You see, there is evidence that God gives to us, you see, as to why we should believe the truths about Him. So reality is supported by evidence. It's by those who support it, they can produce evidence. If you believe this happened, you've got the, you know, this is your stand on it, this is the truth, then you're going to have evidence to support that truth. Okay? So those who support it have evidence. There's documentation, there's video, there's testimony by people. There are the records. There are the witnesses, say, that support that that truth. And then there's also implication that we have to understand. This is the third characteristic. In other words, whatever contradicts reality is necessarily false. Okay? In other words, two opposing views cannot both be true. That makes sense? So again, you know, the Holocaust, you've got, you know, those who say, yes, the Holocaust occurred. Those who say, no, the Holocaust never occurred. Which one is true? They cannot both be true. One has to be truth and the other has to be false. Okay? Because they are opposed to one another, they simply cannot both be true. So we have to decide then for ourselves which one is true and which one is not. And how do we best make that decision? The evidence. You go back to the evidence. So then Jesus either was what the sources say that he was, or he wasn't. Okay? Both of those positions cannot be true. Either one or the other is. See? One's true and one is false. And so what do we have to do to try to figure that out? Look at the evidence. You see? Got to look at the evidence. the thing that we're trying to do with this is to look at more of the evidence that is available to us than what we typically have looked at. Now, that should bring smiles to our faces because, as we said earlier, most of what we typically know about Jesus comes from the New Testament and primarily the Gospels. But the reality is, the truth is, there's a whole wealth of information about Jesus in the Old Testament, okay, that will help us to get to know Him even better. And so we're going to be exploring a lot of that. So what can we know then from the Bible about Jesus? Okay, as we finish up here, there's two views to consider. First of all, there's the New Testament. As we mentioned, it tells us about what He said and what He did. The New Testament focuses primarily on Jesus' physical human life. You know, when you read, you know, the gospel accounts, that's what it's focusing on. Okay? It gives a limited perspective on the real Jesus. Okay? The Old Testament gives insight into who He was before, during, and after His life physically on earth. Okay? The Old Testament contains the background or the backdrop for the life of Jesus. And that is important. Those were the stories that Jesus knew. Okay? They were the prophecies. They were the source of wisdom and revelation that shaped the view of Jesus' life. One particular scholar, Christopher H. Wright, said, in short, the deeper you go into understanding the Old Testament, the closer you come to the heart of Jesus. And he says, after all, Jesus never actually read the New Testament. I like that. You know? So you want to get a better, deeper understanding and perspective on who Jesus is, you need to go to the Old Testament. And that's where we are going to go, because that's the world that Jesus lived under. Okay. So that's what we're going to spend our time on. Finish this up, Ray.
I just wanted to say that that's a good thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, Isaiah. Well, that's where we're going to go. All right? I want to encourage you to preparing for next week's study. Read the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. You go, wait a minute, I thought we were going to be in the Old Testament. We are. But our study has to begin there, and you'll find out why next week. So read the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.